gives us the opportunity to talk to you a little bit about giving, about sowing, about reaping, and about blessings, how to live the blessed life, enjoy the blessed life, how God really will bless you. God really will bless your life. God is looking for someone who will work for Him, who will be a channel for Him, who will be a resource for Him, who will be someone He can use. God wants to use every one of us. God wants to use every one of us. He's not a respecter of persons. He'll use you, but you have to have faith in God. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
You have to have faith in God.
Yes.
Faith in God pushes. Faith in God doesn't sit waiting. Faith pushes. Faith moves the hand of God. You have to move God. You can move God on your behalf. Now, you can listen to what I preach and what I say about giving and about tithing and different things. The Bible talks about three different types of giving, I think, three or four. And you can listen to what I do, and God will just smile on your life. Book of Numbers says He will. Numbers chapter 6 says He'll smile on you and He'll bless you. If you're a tither, He'll just smile on you and bless you. And you'll just live a good little sweet life. But then there's other people who are more than just tithers, people who move beyond that, people who say, I want to be used of God, and I want to make a difference in the kingdom of God, and I want to cast a big shadow. I don't want to just be ordinary. I want to do something for God. Well, He lets you decide that. He lets you decide that. Now, He can call you. Many are called, but few chosen. Many are called. All of us are called, but very few of us are chosen. And even few of those who are separated. Because there's three avenues, always there's threes of God. Called, many are called, chosen, and separated. Acts 13 says, separate me. Paul and Barnabas, had to catch a deep breath, for the ministry whereinto I have called them. See, Paul had been in the ministry a long time. So had Barnabas. But now God was finally saying, separate them for the ministry I've called them to. Well, he'd been preaching, doing a lot of things, but finally came to a point that he had proved himself, and he said, separate him. And Paul made a big difference, and you and I are reaping the harvest of what he did. And long after you're gone, people will be reaping a harvest of what you did. If you move beyond just being a pew dweller. There's pew people. Just pew people. They just dwell among the pews. And that's all they ever do. But there are some people who push. They push God. They move the hand of God and say, I don't want to be ordinary. I don't want to just be a tither and a tither every week. I want to do something big. I want to be more than that. You know, if people were just tithers, you have to have a large amount of people to do anything in a church with just tithers. Because you figure, you know, $50, you know, a week each person or whatever, $20, whatever the tithe is, but who's going to send James Jacob $30,000 and pay all the bills and do everything it takes the church to run and send him $30,000, not once, but lots of times. More and more, not just him, a whole lot of other people we help besides what we do. You don't just do that with tithing. That's why God put in the Bible, said, you can choose how much you want to make, how much you want to give, how big you want to be, but you push God. You push. The Bible says, in Isaiah chapter 43, it says, now concerning the works of my hand, you command me. Concerning the works of my hand, you command me. Push me. Tell me what you want. Every time God stops, you run into him. That's how close you are. You're pushing. You're after him. God, I want more. Hear me, Lord. Hear me. Hear me. You have to move God. You have to move God. You have to do something. I always looked at it this way. You have to do something more than everybody else is doing to get God's attention. If you're just ordinary and everybody else ordinary, you're not going to stand out to the teacher. You got to be beyond ordinary. You got to be the one like Cornelius. God got ready to cause a great revival to come to the Gentiles, and the first one he picked was a man by the name of Cornelius. And why did he pick him? The Bible says that man has built a memorial before me. A memorial is like a statue, monument. God says, in front of me and my throne is a monument. That guy, every time I turn around, he's giving my people something. Said he is praying all the time, and he's giving all the time. And said, he has built a monument in front of me. Says, every time I look at the Gentiles, all I see is Cornelius. Who is this man? Go down there and check and see who this man is. He got my attention. How'd he do that? With his praying and his giving. And they reported back, said, that man is a Gentile, and I'll tell you, he has built churches. He has helped poor people. You wouldn't believe all that he's done, Lord. That'd be something for God to say. God wouldn't believe it. Said, that's true, Lord. And he said, well, send Peter over to his house. I'm going to send all of the Gentile race a revival through him. What about your family? Well, I'm just ordinary. I just believe God. I just have general faith. I'm just here. I dwell among the pews. Well, that's that way, you know, a lot of pew people die. You don't even know it. You don't miss them. Did you know that? I mean, we have a funeral for them and say, you know, I wish you were going to miss that chair full. That chair is empty. Well, did they do anything in the church that's really marked? No. Now, we're not going to miss them for what they did. We're not going to miss them for their giving. We're not going to miss them for their support. We're not going to miss them for their prayer. We're not going to miss them for their helps. We're not going to miss them because they were good, because they helped me. I won't miss them because of that. We just loved them and, you know, they went on to heaven. Praise the Lord. But as far as anything else, no, we don't miss. We won't miss what they did. They didn't do nothing. Are you out there? You look kind of pitiful this morning. Somebody make you mad. Well, I'm telling the truth, whether you like it or not. That's the truth. Well, that's scriptural. And the Amplified Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, God is unable, unwilling, and refuses to do without. Unable, unwilling, and refuse to do without a prompt to do it cheerful whose heart's in his giving. In other words, God said, I've got to have the givers. I have to have them on the earth. And when the doctor comes in your room and says, hey, you got cancer. Well, you know, say, hey, God, you know, it's okay. Lord, now listen. According to your word, you need me. You need Kathy. I mean, we're no good in heaven now. Thank God we're going to heaven. We're going now and be happy for it, but you don't need us up there. You need us here. You know you need us. You know you need me, Lord. If you don't believe me, look at my giving record. Now, you remember what you said? You know you can plead your case on that? God's a blesser. There's, let me read, just read these to you. There's about three ways you can. There's tithe that you can give. Tithing is one way of giving. Your tithe belongs to the Lord. It's not yours. As much as you think it is, it's not yours. It belongs to the Lord. And the Bible says that tithe belongs to the Lord. And when you give that, he said, I'll open the windows of heaven for you. And it'll be open. But then you go to, you can go to alms. Talks about giving alms. Or giving to the poor or helping poor people. That's like ABCCM. That's giving to poor people and helping poor people. And there is a reward in that. God said you lend to the Lord and he'll repay and he'll help you. And there's some rewards for almsgiving. That's just one way of giving. Now, and God will help you in that and help the poor and all that. But the way you prosper and the way you get really blessed is what you do with yours. And that's called seed or offering in the New Testament. Seed or offering. That's your money. That's your possession. And God says now, I'll bless you. And I'll cause blessing to come to you, and you can have money and stuff, and you'll have a nice life and all that. But the offering and the seed and all that and the really prospering is really for the work of the Lord and for the kingdom. You tithe and you help the poor and all that. Say, well, I'm good. I don't need nothing. I'm just going to lay back here in this chair. And that's all right, that's good. But we all did that. The kingdom of God would never advance. It takes what we've got, our possessions. That's what you honor the Lord with. You don't honor the Lord with your tithe. You don't honor the Lord with your almsgiving. You lend to the Lord with alms. It's like lending to the Lord. He said, I'll repay you. Don't worry. And he promises blessings, promises to heal you and help you, all that given to the poor, and we're supposed to. But the way you honor the Lord is with your possessions, yours. And there's no honor outside that. I mean, it helps you and all that. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
And so this, that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, you know, if you give sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you give abundantly, you'll reap abundantly. That's what the possession part, that's yours. That's offering. So that's where you determine how prosperous you want to be or what you want. And that's where you take what's yours and give it to the Lord. That's how I've prospered. I'm by no means rich, what the world calls rich. But brother, I'm sure far advanced or ahead where I used to be. Dear God. And where I've been blessed in things, is in this part of giving. Everything I have, I got it this way. Everything. Everything I have, I got through giving to the Lord of my possessions. But I do it in a couple of ways. I want to be blessed. You say, well, I don't care if I am or not. Well, you're foolish. You do. If you don't believe that, just let them quit paying you at work. You probably quit. Probably the only reason you're working there for the money. We all want to be blessed. And we'll make as much money as we can, and we'll take every promotion we can get, and we'll be as blessed as we can bless, and we'll never argue about it. We only argue about people getting blessed when it comes to other people, usually the preacher. That's where people have a problem. Well, he makes enough. What's enough? I'm glad God didn't leave it to people to decide how much I can make. Oh, thank God. I wouldn't be driving what I'm driving. I wouldn't be wearing what I'm wearing. I sure couldn't give like I give. If people decided the limit to what I could make, if I had some kind of board or some kind of deacon board or some kind of people who decided, that's enough. He makes enough. God said, well, okay, whatever you think. I'm glad that's not the Bible. I'm glad I can't decide what you make. Of course, if I decide what you make, you'd be a millionaire. Every one of you. Or more than that. Because I believe in it. Amen? I want to share a few scriptures with you. Before I do, I'm going to let a couple people come give you a little testimony on giving. I got Karen and Casey going to give. Who wants to go first? You? Praise the Lord. Now, I know these people, and I know what they do outside of the, not everything, because I don't want to know everything, but I know they're more than tithers. Amen.
My name's Karen. Bubba is my husband, and we are givers and tithers. In Sunday school, they know two of my passions are growing in the knowledge of God and being tithers and givers. We have been tithing for over 25 years now, faithfully. We started out, like some of you, maybe just $10 a week, whatever we could afford, but God knew our heart. And through the years, especially since we've been coming and sitting under Pastor Ronnie and Kathy, we have learned what the true meaning of tithing and giving is. It's not just about money, which Amen. We used to live paycheck to almost paycheck. Then we went paycheck to paycheck. Then it was paycheck to 2 weeks after paycheck. Now we don't worry about paycheck to paycheck or any of that because God does bless us. But it's more than that. We have been, especially me, healed of several illnesses, Amen. Cancer. We have been blessed because we can take care of my mother who can't take care of herself and my siblings choose not to take care of her. We have not paid rent in order to tithe. And God blesses that. But it's so much more than the money. And now Bubba and I can tithe. That's the first check we write every payday. We can give. We give $500 to $800 a month in honor offerings alone. I never could have imagined that we would be able to do that, but God.
But God.
So I'm telling you, if you don't tithe, you need to start somewhere. In Sunday school, we talk about that.
Yes.
Start with a dollar. Start with $5. It's your heart.
Yes.
And God will honor whatever the desires of your heart are if it's within his will. Yeah. And we are happy to be able last year to write our first $1,000 check.
Glory.
And give it. I mean, and it was just over and above. So as long as God keeps giving to us, we'll keep giving to him and to pastors and to Glory Tabernacle.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Give a good answer. Now, I know them years ago, they rent a house from us. And I remember when they first moved up there a few years ago, they've never been late, never even offered to be late or nothing. But I know sometimes they struggled a little of paying their bills and making the rent and all that. But I've watched them over the years, and I've watched how she gives. And I'm telling you, it's just the way it went. And it amazes me sometimes how God has just, they have a heart to give. Karen heard about. They have a heart to give. That was their main thing. They want to give. And God just takes care of all their needs, and He's blessed them, and just they've just flourished. But they're beyond tithers. They decided, I want to be a blessing. And believe me, they are. Amen? Amen. Now, Proverbs chapter 11, let me read you a scripture, 24. There is one, you'll have to turn there, 11:24 in Proverbs. There is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, and it leads him to poverty. Can you get that? The generous soul will be made rich. The generous soul will be made rich. And he who waters will also be watered himself. Now, the generous soul will be made rich. Now, riches here is not just money. If you think it's all about money, then your heart's wrong to start with. Well, I'm going to give to God and I'm going to get rich, have a lot of money. No, your heart's wrong. Forget it. It's more than money, huh? It's like Karen said. It's healing, it's blessing, it's family taken care of, it's the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. And, you know, I want peace and I want security and I want independence. I want to be free. And whatever it is that does that, I want that. I don't want to be in bondage and just barely making it and all that. But I have a heart to give. I have a heart to be generous. I know what it takes in the kingdom, and I just have a heart to be generous. I want to be a giver. I want to. I started out wanting to. Lord, I want to be a giver. I want to be more than just a tither. You see, if we don't have a heart, I know that, and with that, there's an anointing on the church here, an anointing on the people that comes through that, because I paid the price to get that. And if you'll hook up to it, you'll be blessed. Now, if I'm just a tither and thought about me and the house and all that, you think I'm going to send $30,000 to a bunch of people I don't even know? I said, wait a minute, we need that money. We need that for something. I may need that for something. I probably need that. I'll need that. See, I do here at the church exactly the way I do at home. Exactly. Financially. Exactly the same way. And usually it's, I don't live from week to week, but there's never really a surplus at the end of the month much. If they are, it's not much. Because I always think like this. Why do I want thousands of dollars in the bank when it can be working? Why am I going to have here in this church? And you think, probably some of you think that way toward the church. Well, they don't need all that money in the church when people need it. Well, what about you? It's amazing how people can give advice and won't take it themselves. And I think, why am I going to have all them thousands of dollars? I've been in churches who would have 40 people and they'd have $200,000 in the building fund. And I thought, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to build? Your church ain't even a third full. Then after a while, they'll go for years and they'll build up their building fund and they'll have a deacon's meeting. Maybe they'll decide to build a fellowship hall. Fellowship hall for 30 people to fellowship, and there's nothing but old people. And they're sitting around going to fellowship and eat green beans and corn and fellowship. And save their money. And it's not their money to start with. It's God's money. Well, God can't use people like that. He'll never use people like that. And I get thinking, well, what am I with that money? And somebody's needing it. Somebody's hungry. Somebody needs to pay their bills. Some church. And that's how I think. Same way in my own life. I know most people don't, pastor don't think like that. And I know most of you don't think like that. I doubt there's two in here thinks like that. Now, I'm not telling you to do that because you don't have no faith to do it. Are you out there? You gone home. I just hope when you die, you put my name on your will. I'll use it for you and get you a good reward. I say, Lord, they kept all this till they died. Now I'm going to give it on their behalf. They're saving it for a rainy day, and it never did rain, Lord. Praise the Lord. Generous soul, he will be watered. What's that mean? I'll tell you, sometimes life gets dry. Sometimes I get dry. Sometimes I get discouraged. Sometimes I get down. Sometimes I need something. But it always waters. There's something always to water. Amen? God never leaves me. He always waters. His Spirit. He always comes to me. And always blesses me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I like having money. If I want anything, I can buy it. That's what I call prosperity. I want something, I want to buy it. Don't you? That's what I call prosperity. And God will do that for you. After all, He'll make it about you if you'll make it about Him. You'll make it about God. He'll see to it. He makes it about you. God knows my heart. Lord, I won't be independent. Because you know, you have to depend on people, and sometimes then they think they own you. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe I've been around longer than you have. Let's see what else this says. The people will curse him who withholds grain. But blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. Well, glory. I want to be a seller and not a withholder. We can't sell something you don't have. Praise the Lord. All right, Casey's going to come and bless us real good. Amen. Hallelujah. Ern William. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, one of the greatest blessings when William got born again, come to church, filled the Holy Ghost, and on fire for God. Now you tell me that money is worth more than that. There's nothing any worth more, anything worth more than that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, baby.
Well, my mom, she always taught me to be a giver, even before I ever really knew what tithing or giving was. I really learned that whenever I came here, and I can honestly say that even before then, before William was ever saved, he never had a problem with giving. He'd say, yeah, you just give him whatever you want, you know, and he said, you know, the benefits that he's reaped. But back in February, we found out that our bookkeeper had had a stroke, and we owed the IRS $24,000. So you can imagine how we almost died. Wouldn't you almost die?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so then you have to meet with them, and those are people you never want to meet with. But come to find out, whenever we met with the man, he was very, very nice, and we didn't have to pay any of it. Now, I mean, go figure of that. And then in the meantime, we were going to open the restaurant in Leicester, and it just didn't seem to be working out. And then the whole COVID thing happened. And in the meantime, we owed about $60,000 worth of debt. So we've got a restaurant that's not open. It's just sitting there waiting to be opened. And when you have a business, you know every day if it's open or not, it's eaten. It's just eating money.
Yeah.
And we opened up in April. And since April until now, we have paid back all the debt that we owed, all $60,000 worth of debt. And it's amazed me how that it's not just about the money, because we're there for a reason. Wherever you are, you're there for a reason. It's not just to tell
That's
people
exactly
that you give
right.
to the church. Our air conditioner went out there, and this man, he told me, he said, well, good luck getting that man to buy an air conditioner. And Pastor Ronnie had come and prayed over the place. And, you know, not just the tithe, but I know that my God works. That my pastor, no matter what, is always working for me. Him and Pastor Kathy, they're always praying for all of us. And this man told me, he said, well, good luck. I said, well, you know, I'm going to go with that scripture that said that I have favor with both God and man. And he said, well, good luck. You're not dealing with neither one with him. And I'm like, so at first, the man decided that he was going to fix the air conditioner. And I said, guess what? He's fixing the air conditioner. And he said, really? And then he put in a whole new air conditioning. And I said, because that's the way my God works. No matter what, he is always working on our behalf. And we're always out there telling people how he does work. Because that is a lot of times the only way that people ever see Jesus. That's the only way they ever learn about tithing or about even going to church. But God has really blessed us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. See, I've got other people. Maybe a little later they can give a testimony. But these people are, I know, they're givers. Well, God will help you. We're all his kids. You know, if you have faith in God, he'll help you. But the Bible is just true. You know that? The Bible is right. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's like he puts something on you. It's called favor. And it's called blessing. He just puts an anointing, it's called blessing. The anointing to be blessed. See, God can't bless stingy people. He can't bless people that's too tight, you know, because there's no faith in that. Amen? You can't buy God, and you can't dictate to God what he's going to do or how he's going to do it or demand God do anything or you owe me. No, it's the heart's the issue. The heart. The Bible says this in Proverbs 22, chapter 6, and we always use this scripture for other things, but listen what it says. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. Well, what are we training him to do? Next verse. The rich rule over the poor. Well, we train these kids. Listen, son or daughter, you get this straight. Poor don't work. Well, Dad, you know, I don't have education. I don't have any ability, and I don't know how to do anything poor. There's a spirit of poverty on me where I come from. There was no hope. I wanted a house, wanted a car, wanted nice things, but I didn't make enough money. It's just like it's a downward spiral. You don't know how to turn it around. Some people are just better, got a better start somehow, but my dad couldn't help me. He didn't have any money. Nobody in my family could help me. Nobody knew anything. I mean, it's just, I had no help but God. I found out God. I didn't want to be poor. I want my own house. I want my own land. I want my own stuff. I wanted it. I never had it. My dad never had it. I wanted that. Other people, it may be just common, they already had it, but not me. I was like Jabez in the Bible. God, I'm tired of causing pain or being in pain or poor. I don't want that. Will you bless me? I don't want to be like that, God. I want to be, you know, I don't want to be in poverty. Train up your child. Son, the rich will always rule over the poor. And the borrower is servant of the lender. Get that right, son. If all you ever do is borrow, and all you ever do is live on borrowed money, you're always a somebody's servant. They own you. Now, what are we training our kids? See, I'd like to teach them this. You hook up to God. You first of all tithe, open the window. Then you grab hold of giving. You get your heart hooked on God. And you have faith in God where money is concerned. And you be generous. And you won't ever be poor. You won't ever be poor. You might have to start out borrowing some money, but you won't all your life be a borrower. I don't care who you are. I don't care how poor you are. I try to teach them this in third world countries, but they got the mindset where we're just poor people. It won't work here. That's American gospel. They don't believe the Bible. They say the Bible is works based on their situation or how they are. That doesn't have nothing to do with nothing. It would change your life. The rich rule over the poor, borrow, serve, and the limp. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, but the rod of his anger will fail. He who is generous, he who has a generous eye, son, will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Now there's two giving. He who has a generous eye will be blessed. Wow. I'm going to read you another Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 15:10, 20. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Can you get this? And your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, God, because of this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and all to which you put your hand. Talk about giving generously to the Lord. Now, here's how we give. You got to understand something. You got to make all your giving. You got to do everything you do. Lucky said this. He watched some of the Helps conference last week, and he mentioned this to me back there. He got this. He saw this, and it really went off on the inside of him, and it just started stirring him. Where Doc said, what you do, you have to do for the Lord and not to man. Everything you do, you have to do it for the Lord, not to man. Now, if what you do, if you do it for man, after a while you'll be offended. I don't care who it is, what it is, you will get offended. If what you do, if you do it for the church, you'll get offended after a while. If you give me, and we're having my birthday's coming up, you know, and well, I want to make sure you know that, and I'll have it on bulletin board. But you can't, what you give, if you give me, you can't give that as given to me, although you do. You give it as honor to the servant of God as unto the Lord. If you don't, after a while, you ain't going to give me nothing. I guarantee it. You're going to get offended. If you work here, if you work in the nursery, you work as an usher, you work, well, I'm doing this for pastor. Look what I do. Look how much I do. I do more than anybody in this whole church. Do they ever call my name out? Do I ever get a cookie? Do I ever get an applause? Do I ever get a thank you? Do I ever get anything? No. Let not your heart be grieved when you give to him. You're that way and I'm that way. After a while, if you're not careful, you will get an attitude. I have to watch myself. I have to watch myself. I'll go up there at Doc's. Doc needs so much money. And every conference, you know, he has to spend time taking up money, taking up offerings. Well, here comes that spirit of offense. Well, he needs $8,700 a day. Doc does. And you'll say, what in the name of God does he need $8,700 a day for? What are you doing? You got to hear that devil comes. And I say, thank you, Lord, I don't need $8,700 a day. And if I get to looking, that is a servant of the Most High God, called of God. That is the only way that I can give to God is give to the man of God. How else am I going to give to God? Well, I don't tell you one thing about they doing that church. I don't think they need that much money. I don't think they, I'm not giving. You have to watch that. That devil, I'll tell you, he'll get on you. He'll get on me. And I say, you stum devil, you. Then I'll give more than I was going to. Then I'll give more than I was going to. I say, I was going to give 500. Now you dumb devil, I'm giving 1,000. Now say something else. I'm telling you, that's how it works. You have to do everything you do as unto the Lord. It's called in your giving and in your work. You cannot do it as doing unto man. If you do, you will get aggravated. You will get upset. You will get mad. It don't go your way. It doesn't please you. It hurts your feelings. It made you mad. You know, I just like I was talking to Doc one day, and he said this too. If I wasn't doing this for the Lord, I'd have quit a long time ago. You can't pay me to do this. You can't pay me to do this. If I was looking for a job, it would not be pastoring a church, I guarantee you. I was not equipped at the beginning to pastor any church. You got to be kidding me, Lord. I don't want a pastor. I'm not pastoring a church. No. But you said you'd do anything I ask you to do. I sure did, didn't I? That's exactly right. I told the Lord I'd like to have a good job, making good money, to where I could just be a worker in the church. I said, I'll make the best car parking lotter. Best usher, deacon, because I was already doing that. And I did a good job, too. Every day I was off, I was down there to church. I mowed the yard. I painted where they needed painting. I worked around the church all the time, never charged a dime. And the pastor would say, well, I want to pay you. I said, all right. And I said, well, I worked so many hours, I'm charging this much an hour. And I'd write it down, and I said, give that as offering back to me. Lord, I sowed that much seed because I knew the seed was more than the money. And everything I do it as a seed because it was money to me. Now, I needed the money, and they could have paid me, say, $100 for something, and I sure flat needed $100. But I knew this thing worked, and $100 seed was worth far more than $100 cash. And I would give that, and I'd say, I got seed in the ground. Glory to Jesus. Because I believe it. I believe it. And I did that, not one time, two times, but lots of times. More than you can count. Let's see. 1 Corinthians, I'll read you a few scriptures. You're okay? Are you okay?
Yes.
I'm going to anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31. You don't have to turn there, you? says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do for the all and for the glory of God. Well, do you do that? Do you eat for the glory? Don't say yes or no. I know better. Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it with all your heart, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing, you have to know this. I'm telling you, my brother and sister, this is everything I do. I have this knowing here that I am doing this for God. I'm pastoring this church for Him. Because I'm telling you, if I wasn't, I'd been gone a long time ago. Because you think you've been offended. I've been offended a heap more than you have. I've been hurt more than you have. I've been wounded more than you have. I've been rejected more than you have. I've been lied on, left on, done on, all kind of on. A lot more than you have. And I said, I'm out of here, Lord. Find you somebody else. I'm not doing. Now, I've been totally wrong. It is my attitude. I hadn't developed in maturity, hadn't developed the character of God and all that, but that, regardless of the fact, I'd have still left. I wouldn't have stayed long enough for God to work in me the love that He needed to for the people and the heart for the people and all that. I was doing it as a job, doing it because I was supposed to, doing it because I had to, doing it because of this, you know. And at first, it wasn't for the money. Listen, I was 40 years old, almost 41, before I ever drawed a paycheck from ministry. And it wasn't a whole lot then. How would you like to work at a job till you was 41 before you ever got a check? I worked almost 18 years before I ever got a check. Will you do that at your job? I doubt that. 18, 20 years. And I was well over 20 years in this before I ever made enough money to really live any kind of life that was, you know, kind of breaking even to where I could have a kind of a nice car or even where I get close to having a nice house or anything. I'd been in this over 20 years. So back pays a whole lot. Giving the whole time. Giving everything I had my hands on. You know, you've heard that. Give them a check away, give them this and give them everything I could get a hold of. For 15 years, for 20 years. And finally. Then somebody said, well, I think you're overpaid. Praise the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Colossians 3. I read that, didn't I? Yeah. All right, listen to this one right here. I think that's a good one. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. That's the last book in the Bible. You'll like that one. You can find it pretty good. Not 23. Jesus says, behold, verse 22:12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my payday is with me. Payday is with me. Glory. To give to everyone according to what? His work. I am coming quickly, and payday is with me. According to everyone, how you worked. Everything you do, do as unto the Lord, not unto man. If you do it for me, then it's up to me to pay you. If you do it for the Lord, you'll get your feelings hurt, you'll get offended, you'll get mad, you'll want to quit, you'll do everything, but you'll say, you know, the Lord told me to do this. He told me to work here, told me to be nice, told me to help you, Pastor, told me to be your armor bearer, told me to, well, you know, fine. Don't do it if, you know, these men that helped me, I didn't tell them to do that. Kathy and Penny and them had to talk me in to doing that. Let them help you. I said, I don't want them carrying my stuff. Carry my own stuff. Let them help you. Then Doc Barkley helped me a lot. It's a ministry. It's a job. He said, he told this story one time. I told you, he said he come in the back door one time when he first started his ministry in church before he learned all these principles. And this old man had, he just died recently up there. Been with him since he started, 40-something year. He and his wife. His wife's still there. Started with him. He said he walked in the back door and he had mud on his shoe. And that old man bit down, took out his handkerchief, and began to clean Doc Barclay's shoe. And Doc, an old tough Marine, he said, get up from there. What are you doing? I'm cleaning my own shoes. And so that old man got up, tears streaming down his face. He said, please don't rob me from doing what the Lord told me to do. You do your job, and please let me help you do that job. That's what he wants me to do. Please don't rob me from it. And Doc said, see, God this whole time in his ministry was teaching him principles on so he could teach other ministers principles. And said from that day forward, he got a law from the book. And that old man served faithfully for 40-something years. That was his ministry as he saw it. He said, I'm not doing this for you, Doc. I'm not doing it for you. I want you to stand in that pulpit, and I want you to teach us the word, and I want you to study, and I want you to prepare, but I want you to look the best you can when you go up there. And so he bent down. That takes all the pride out of you. Amen. Well, we do it for Jesus. We do it for him. I give for Jesus. I don't give when I give to Doc Barclay. But I don't give to them. If I give to them, it's not good ground. I give because of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, stand up. Did you like this or no? Now, you either like it or you hate it. No in between. Amen? Now, the only thing about money that gets us is our pride. You know, money, it's something about money. It's a biggie. Let me read you one more scripture. I told you I would. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. This is good. Let him who stole steal no longer. Well, but rather, let him get him a job and work. Why? Working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Why do we work? You know, Jesus said he'd meet all of our needs. So why do we work? so we can give. That way it opens a door for Jesus to meet all of our needs. And he says, you decide how blessed you want to be. I'll give you seed. That's through your job. And that seed, he said, you just decide. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that you have given us to rise above poverty, rise above lack, rise, Lord, above barely getting by, Lord, we can rise up and we can be blessed. We want to be blessed. Lord, a man that says he don't want to be blessed, lying. We want to be blessed, but our motive, why do we want to be blessed? Lord, we want to be givers. We want to be blessers. We want to be helpers. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us, even to feed 100 families. Think about that, Lord, 100 families. You gave us the privilege of feeding. All their little kids and all their babies will get to eat this whole month because Glory Tabernacle, we're givers. Thank you, Lord. We want to do more. We want to do more. Lord, bless us. I want to be blessed. I'll tell you now, I want to be blessed. I don't want to have any limits on it. Father, thank you for taking all the limits off in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. All right. I forgot that. I'm glad I read that. Okay, you come. No, you do. Chris McMichaels, you know, I told you he was going to be here and share all that stuff about all this junk going on and all that. So he's coming the 13th. You're exactly right.
Trying to make birthday plans. All right, well, we'll do Psalms 91. So... yeah, so Chris McMichaels, that's pretty much the announcement for today. I know a lot you don't know that I know. I keep it hidden from the general public. Yeah, I saw that one, but as far as who's coming and doing all that. And Pastor's birthday is coming up on Friday, September the 25th. Announcement of a party to come. He hasn't decided what he wants to do yet. So this is an important announcement. Dan Anderson, some of you probably remember Pastor Dan, and he passed away. And so there will be a memorial service at Oakley Baptist today at 2:00. I know that's kind of short notice. He passed away last week though, didn't he? Last Thursday? Yeah, so it was really quick. So that's Pastor Dan memorial service today at Oakley Baptist Church at 2:00. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's say our Psalms 91 confession. And we'll say that together. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? Okay, good. Here we go. We live by the words of our mouth, and we confess Psalms 91 right now in Jesus' name. I say that no evil shall befall me, and no plague shall come nigh my dwelling. For he has given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. I am going to live in great peace, great joy, and great prosperity. The grace of God is upon me. Therefore, I have the ability of God in life to be an overcomer. Everything I put my hand to will be successful. I have favor with God and man. I go from strength to strength. I will rule in this life, live in joy, and walk in the love of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'll say it.